We continue our journey through these last couple weeks of Corinthians, and this morning we continue with the 13th chapter of Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. He writes these words, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but I do not have love, then I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I even reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love." The word of God for the people of God. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for your servant Paul, for his energy, his compassion, his passion for the life of your church. Oh God, we are thankful for his words. And pray now, oh God, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, that they will be pleasing and acceptable, oh God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Is your love, kindness, and compassion running a little bit thin? One of the teachers last night said, "Did you have a conversation with Abigail this week about her class?" And I said, "No, should I?" I said, did a teacher's patience get a little thin with the class this week?" And she said, "Uh-huh." I said, "Okay, I'll talk when we get home." It happens to all of us. There was a grandma here this morning that had to take her grandson into the bathroom, and I'm assuming to have a come to Jesus conversation. He was fine when he returned. He was not happy when he left. Is your love, kindness, and compassion running a little thin? Well, there's an app for that. Don't we wish there were? But if you really think about any problem that's out there, there probably is an app to handle it. Thank you to these computer geeks that are hiding in mom and dad's basement or their own places having nothing else to do, and they put these things together, and we have these apps that can do all kinds of things for us. Millions of applications. You need to help organize your to-do list? Well, then get the Do List To-Do Reminder app that will help you. Are you always seeming to run a little bit late? Well, there are a couple apps, Bounce app and Running Late app, and they'll even text your friends to let them know that you're running a little behind. Some of these apps do help us with better productivity, but I think some of them, well, just simply help us waste time. All of them, however, have become an ever-present reality in our lives. And sometimes, unless you update, these things won't work right. I finally buckled under yesterday when I was out and I bought our income tax program. I installed it on the computer and hit everything and opened it up, and then it said, the first thing it said to me was, there are updates. Would you like to install them? Well, download them first. Yes. And I know every time I'm going to open that baby up. Updates. Would you like them? Of course. However, these apps help us perhaps to be connected more electronically. But have they really made us better and more compassionate people? We might be texting a long-lost or distant friend, wishing them well in an upcoming procedure or illness that they're having or treatment, and yet we are ignoring the depressed person that's sitting right next to us. Or maybe we're Snapchatting a picture of our dinner or our lasagna, and maybe, I don't know, in my family it'd probably be held up here. And if you know why these two fingers go sideways in front of your face when you do a Snapchat, will you let me know why? I think they turn the hand this way. I haven't figured that out. But you know, people post their dinners, fantastic meals and things while they're walking down the street, and how many homeless, hungry people are they passing? Well, Paul says we need a love update, an agape update. Because Paul was dealing with problems in the church at Corinth. And they're really not unlike any of the 21st century issues and problems we're dealing with today. In the church at Corinth, Paul was upset because people in the congregation were suing each other, back and forth, probably from the left side to the right side. They were obsessed with teachers, and those teachers were not Paul and Jesus. They seemed to be a little relaxed on their sexual ethics. Now, it may have been in Corinth, I've read that there were a multitude of pagan temples, and one of those temples bragged that they housed 1,000 sacred prostitutes. Not yet gotten my head around how you get sacred and prostitute in the same sentence. I guess that would be an adjective. They were hurling insults back and forth. And then when they joined together to celebrate Holy Communion. Now that was different then than it is now. You didn't get a little piece of bread and a little tablespoon of juice. Back in Paul's day, when you shared in the meal together of communion, it was a full meal spread out on the table. And the wealthier people who could leave work earlier, they came early and they pretended it was Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner and they pigged out. And by the time the poor people were able to come to worship at the last minute, the meal was gone and they went home hungry. Paul believes that they need to shut down, to update our lives, not only to make our communities run smoother and in a more Christ-like manner, but also because it will do our own spiritual lives good and it will make the church more friendly to the outsiders. A love update. Agape update. Now, we in the English language only have one word for love. You could say, I love my car. I love my stuffed animal. I love this meal. I love my cat or my dog. I love my spouse. But hopefully you love your spouse differently than you love the car. Well, in the Roman world, the Greek language differentiated between different types of love. There's the word philia, which talks about that friendship kind of love. That's where we get Philadelphia, the city of love. And then I just learned a new one recently. I believe it's pronounced storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, and that's that love between brothers and sisters and cousins, that type of family. And then there's eros, which is, well, we won't get into that. That's that romantic, intimate love. But when Paul uses the word love in 1 Corinthians 13, he uses the word agape. Agape love, which is real, willful, sacrificial, unconditional, self-giving love that should be in the life of the church. And so in this famous chapter, the love chapter, Paul really lays it out. Now, he has already said in chapter 12, we've been in there a couple weeks, you may be gifted. You may possess gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit may have a hold of you, and you may be using them in the life and the work of the church. But if you don't have love in your heart, it doesn't really work. Paul says in chapter 12, at the very end, as he's feeding into chapter 13, strive for the greatest gift. And I'll show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. He says, you might have all the mysteries of the world at your fingertips, but if love is not in you, it's a waste of time. You might even decide to give everything away that you have. And yet if you don't do it out of love, it's nothing. In a community that embraces this agape love, Paul says that everything is changed. Instead of being at each other's throats, love makes them patient with one another. And always takes away the possibility of jealousy. It pulls people's heads up from worrying only about themselves and gives way to the needs of others without any resentment or anger. It's just what God calls us to do. And love turns us away from those evil influences that can creep into our lives. And instead turns us to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says this genuine, sacrificial, unconditional, self-giving love, it enables the community of Christ to bear, to hope, to endure for each other, and yes, for Jesus Christ. Oh, it's interesting that this 13th chapter of Corinthians is framed the chapters before and after. In the end of 12, he says, strive for the greater gifts. And at the beginning of 14:1, he begs the Christians to pursue love. Agape is that kind of love that has to be chosen daily, prayed over, studied, practiced, nurtured, constantly used, or it will atrophy and be no more. It's designed to be freely shared with others, willingly shared with others, and when it is, then it makes the whole community a better place, for the presence of Christ is seen, is experienced, and felt. May this agape love of Christ rest upon us all. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for a love that will not let us go, that holds on to us with a grip that'll hold on forever. May we experience it, may we share it, may we live it. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.